Welcome back. Michael Warren Thomas here. It's Naturally Green at SaverLife.com and a beautiful weekend weather-wise. A lot of rain Monday, Tuesday, chance of snow on Wednesday. So if you still have some of those spring bulbs to plant or want to find some deals at local garden centers for spring bulbs or put some garlic in the ground, this weekend would be ideal time to do that. Tomorrow, full sun, 54. That's going to be beautiful day to be out planting, pruning, cleaning up, working around in your garden. The ground isn't going to freeze yet. Thursday, Friday look like you could probably plant pretty easily, but it's going to be 41 instead of 54. And then things may get colder, snow and colder weather starting next weekend, next Sunday. So get those bulbs in the ground if you haven't, and get some more. As I said last week, it will make winter feel slightly shorter if you have some early spring bulbs that are blooming in February and March, as well as the daffodils and tulips in April, May. Get a few dozen to put in the ground this weekend. The local garden centers have a lot of Christmas wreaths and Christmas trees. As I've said before, concolor fir is my favorite tree, but the firs in general are by far the best Christmas trees for holding their needles. The spruce trees, they are notorious for dropping them and dropping them pretty quickly in many cases. So the fir trees, seriously, we cut our own concolor fir a few years ago out in Victor and had it inside for, I don't know, mid-December through mid-January, probably inside for a month. Might have lost 10 needles. We put it outside in our vegetable garden. Thought it would look cool there. It looked great. It's out there from February, March, April. Still looks, it looks perfect. Again, it was cut off, we cut it off in December, and I didn't put it in anything in the vegetable garden. I just stuck the end of the stump in the ground. And then I had a dilemma because it still looked cool, but our garden needed to be planted, and the thing took up a major portion of our vegetable garden. So, it was maybe first week of May, something like that. I finally just, took it out to the back and leaned it up against our fence and sort of, put it in a shady spot, which actually probably helped extend its life even longer because as the warm weather came, it was in a fair amount of shade. And that concolor fir tree was still green in June, seriously. July, it definitely faded. Again, this was a tree that was cut in December. I couldn't believe it. I don't normally try to keep them like that. It just so happened that year that we did. Often I dismember the tree, the limbs, to make it easier to take out of the house, and I don't have a tree to put up in our backyard. But that year I did. I sort of tied it again to help get it out the door and set it up for the birds to roost in. And it's a beautiful evergreen for the winter and the spring in our backyard. So that's how tough these firs are. Again, a tree cut in December still had mainly green needles in June outside. It's kind of insane. But it did fade. I mean, I was starting to wonder whether there was something really weird with this tree and it was just going to stay green, through the next Christmas or something. But then the needles did eventually fall off in July and turn yellow. So there's many kinds of fir trees. There's Nordman fir and Fraser fir. Fraser's maybe one of the ones you're most likely to find. The other advantage of the fir trees, and this doesn't apply to the concolor fir as much, But the most of the other fir trees and Fraser fir in particular have very strong branches, and so they're really fantastic for holding heavier ornaments. So if you have some old family ornaments or just some that are heavy, the fir trees are some of the best. The concolor fir, less so. Its branches aren't as strong as the Fraser fir, for example, but still pretty good. And so in general, go look for a Christmas tree when you cut your own, which I recommend. It's fun to do. The places that have trees for cutting can provide the saw for you. And it's a soft wood. They cut pretty easily. You just have to get down underneath the tree to cut it. And you might ask the tree farm, if you go cut your own, where they want you to cut it. Because I think there are some tree farms that want you to cut it above a branch or two. And that's because that branch that's left there, although it looks really weird and just goes off to the side, and you got the stump and one branch, but that branch will often sprout a new leader, and that will effectively become the new tree, and that makes a can make a massive difference in terms of regrowth, because you have now you've got a tree with an established root system that can push out a new leader and really grow pretty quickly, probably, and need very little maintenance compared to putting in new seedlings. So if you cut the tree all the way to the ground and there are no branches on it, I don't think it'll re-sprout. But if it has some greenery left on it, and again, it's just a matter of a couple of branches, that can make a big difference. So ask at the tree farm, if that makes a difference to them. And you may be able to notice it just from the other trees that are around if you look closely. So, once that leader grows, they would cut the long branch that was left on the tree off, but you would be able to tell they did that by looking at the trunk kind of under the tree, under the large regrown tree, that is. So, again, you've got this established root system. You might as well take advantage of that and regrow the tree from there. And then if you have a drought or something, that root system's been there for maybe a dozen years, and it can withstand a drought, whereas a new seedling that's got to fight weeds and things that are more established root systems, that is often hard to get started and keep the weeds away from it, and makes a big difference. So cut your own. There are lots of places around our area where you can cut your own tree. And if you want some suggestions on where to cut, send me an email, michael@saferlife.com. And that way you can choose kind of your favorite tree, the size you want. But you might want to bring a tape measure with you, because every year it seemed we got trees that were too large for our dining room or living room. And they were too tall by a lot. Somehow, just holding my hand up didn't really give us a good estimate of how tall these trees were. And so, we ended up having to cut off a bunch of the bottom of the tree to have it fit in the house or in the living room. And that gave us some greenery for wreaths and things, but it would have been an easier tree to move around if we had, a foot less trunk on it. So, again, and the live trees are just wonderful, and they smell amazing, and they will drop some needles probably. Again, as long as you get a fir tree, not very many, but they are. They're a farmed commodity, really. So, we're not cutting down old growth forests to create Christmas trees. These are our tree farms around our area that cut them specifically for the season, and then regrow them. And they, I don't, depending on, again, how they do this with terms of seedlings or allowing them to regrow from the stump, they're harvesting trees, you know, every 10 years rather than, you know, an annual harvest of corn. But it's the same idea. So I don't see Christmas trees as being, an environmental issue. Many communities chip them in the winter after Christmas is over and use that mulch. You can also take your tree to areas where they can be chipped, depending on where you live. And, you know, the fake Christmas trees are just going to end up in a landfill. At some point, they will break or fade or, get worn out from being taken in and out each year. So I'm a big fan of the live trees. And that concolor fir I mentioned has the most amazing smell. You should go in search of one, even if you're not going to buy one. Or if you're maybe at a nursery, they sell them as live trees, you know, for your yard also. When you break the concolor needle, it has this kind of intense tangerine citrus, but it's more complex than that too. It's really kind of amazing. You expect a pine scent and you get a citrus scent, which is odd in winter. And I just love the smell of that concolor fir. You don't get the smell as much just from the tree standing in your living room, but if you break the branches, it really smells amazing. Actually, one year I took some of those needles and you break the needles, not the branches, but if you break the needles, you get that smell. And I took some of those needles and put them in a mortar and pestle, thinking I would, you know, sort of mash them occasionally to get the smell. And you probably can guess it made a mess of the mortar and pestle. And it wasn't all that effective in releasing the smell. It's just breaking the needles or crushing them a little bit that seemed to work better. So don't bother with a mortar and pestle. But do look for a concolor fir. It makes a wonderful tree in your yard. Also, this time of the year, places sell live trees that are still the roots and they're in pots to use for Christmas. And in some parts of the country further south, that could work, where you just take it outside and plant it. For us, it's harder to plant in January, generally. And an evergreen is going to have trouble getting enough water for its needles if it's put back outside, and you intend to keep it in your, have it in your yard. Somehow my concolor fir that was cut and getting no water at all managed to stay green. But in general, evergreens, they're not going to appreciate being planted in winter, even if the ground is unfrozen. So then you can't keep them inside, really, because then they start to push new growth. So they recommend with these live trees with the roots in a pot that you have them inside for like a week or maybe 10 days, 2 weeks at the most, a pretty short period of time, because otherwise they'll come out of dormancy. Then if you put them outside, all that new growth and things will die. It really sets the tree back. They're tricky in our area, and they're pretty small. So I like big trees, and if you want to have a large tree with a root ball, you need a bobcat, to bring that in your living room. They are pretty heavy. So that's why trees with root balls for Christmas are small. They might be seriously a couple feet high, maybe 3 feet tall. I don't know, maybe there's some that are 4 feet tall and pretty skinny. again, they got to be small enough that you can move them with this root ball that has moisture and soil and is just heavy. So it sounds good to, you know, enjoy a tree for Christmas and then put it outside in your garden, but not so successful this far north. You get down into Georgia and Florida, and I don't know about North Carolina, maybe North Carolina, South Carolina probably. It'd work really well, I would guess, but tricky up here in our area. We did that one year with relatives in Florida with a Norfolk pine, which is not sometimes found in this area as an indoor tree, and very layered look to it, and kind of looks like it belongs with the dinosaurs, but we used it for Christmas, put it outside, it grew, got huge. I don't know, it was a long time ago that we planted it, and the last I saw it was, I think, like 30 feet high, or 20 feet high, maybe. So, again, if you want some suggestions on where to find Christmas trees, where to cut them, email me, michael@saverlife.com. The Brighton Farmers Market has new hours as of tomorrow. For Sundays, they've drastically reduced their hours because of cold weather, although, of course, tomorrow is going to be 54 and sunny, really a beautiful day. But, you know, it's the end of November, and usually the weather often is very cold. So they reduced their hours for now through the Sunday before Christmas, and it's 10 to 11:30. So instead of 9 to 1, again, the Brighton Farmers Market will be open from 10 to 11:30. And you can check out what the vendors have at their website, get more details. They ask you to leave your dogs at home and to wear a mask, of course. Then practice social distancing. Try to be efficient in coming and going from the market, and try to send as few family members as possible, just to make things more efficient at the Brighton Farmers Market. So 10 to 11:30 tomorrow and for the next several Sundays. And you can buy and stock up from our local farmers. Today is Small Business Saturday, which is, follows directly after Black Friday, which is perhaps more notoriously big box sales and things. Well, today is Small Business Saturday. I'm an advocate of small business year, 365 days a year. Try to just shift your spending, not only for the holidays, but in general. The bank that you use, the other services as well as products that you buy. Think about whether there's a local option before you automatically go to a big box store to get something. It's a piece of lumber. There are a number of local lumber stores. Morse Lumber is right near our house. It's right near the Susan B. Anthony house on West Main Street. And there are others around the area. So if there's something you're looking to buy and you can't think of a local source of it, email me, michael@saverlife.com, and perhaps I can give you some suggestions. Certainly there may well be some things you can't find locally. There are times when, for efficiency, you really only have time to do one stop, and so you need to go to a bigger store that carries more things, which the big box stores certainly do that. But in general, try to adjust your spending, and at least you start that process by kind of rethinking what you're buying and whether there is a local option for it. So, food, restaurants, those are pretty easy, partly because we live in such a great area for farming, fruit farms, vegetable farms, and we have a lot of local restaurants. So the, there are some great options if you want local foods. I mean, if you love cheesecake, you don't have to go to the Cheesecake Factory, which is a national chain. You can go to Cheesy Eddie's. And frankly, the cheesecake, I think, is worlds better. I did only once have I been to the Cheesecake Factory, and that was to get a piece to have a blind tasting with Cheesy Eddie's. And of course, I knew the difference, but I was bringing it to some other people who didn't know which was which. And Cheesy Eddie's won easily, 100% voted for Cheesy Eddie's. And it's, it's like that with so many other things, where there are local options that are generally better. And some would argue maybe the local options are more expensive, which is true in some cases. And certainly small businesses don't have the buying power of a major national corporation. But the devil is in the details there. The national big box stores use loss leaders to draw you in, and the lower prices are not necessarily across the board. In many cases, again, those loss leaders, I mean, you go in, you save money on that item, and then you spend more on a bunch of other things. That's why they do it, because it works. And the other thing, it's just that example of Cheesecake Factory and Cheesy Eddie's. The piece of cheesecake from the Cheesecake Factory was twice the size, maybe almost three times the size of the one from Cheesy Eddie's. And so if you're just visually looking at them, you think, wow, you get a lot more from the Cheesecake Factory. But then you realize that a bunch of it is, there's some frosting, sort of decoration. And then it's a whipped cheesecake. So it takes up, you whip air into it, it looks bigger, but it's really not any bigger in terms of what you get, what you taste. The style, the New York style cheesecake from Cheesy Eddie's is denser. And so again, looks are deceiving, and I prefer that style that Cheesy Eddie's does, personally. So again, it's I often hear people say that they local small businesses are more expensive, and again, that is often true, but it depends on so many other things, and you think local, buying vegetables and things from a local farmer, it's if you buy the unprocessed ones, so you go to the big grocery stores, you might find butternut squash all sliced for you, and the seeds taken out, the skin taken off, and ready to just toss in a pan. I haven't looked at the difference in prices, but I'm guessing that is going to be more expensive than buying a butternut squash from a local farmer and just putting that in the oven, baking it, scraping it out of the skin, the shell, which is very easy to do once it's baked. It's really not much work at all. So, again, the pricing of local versus, from elsewhere, is varies a lot depending on the product and where you get it, etc. So, don't make that assumption. I think that's my point. Do a little research, check out what our local small businesses have to offer, and really, if you do have to pay a premium to buy from a local business, in some cases maybe you can't afford to. In cases where you do, that small business will be able to buy more things locally, and small businesses understand that they have to support each other, and that money tends to stay in our community. When you buy something from elsewhere, then that money just leaves the community, pretty much forever. It's gone. And that's the multiplier effect of keeping money in our own community. It recycles within our community. When it leaves, it generally doesn't come back. When you buy something at a big box store, a little bit of your money stays here as salaries for their employees, but most of it goes to wherever that business is located and is left our community. Again, email me if you want any suggestions, michael@saverlife.com. And if you want to make your own wreath, there are some really good videos on YouTube about how to do it. It can be very easy to do. I often have used a grapevine as a form for the wreath. So you want to use a live grapevine because it'll bend instead of just break. And you just twist that grapevine into a circle of whatever size you want your wreath to be, kind of wind it in and out of itself. It'll hold itself in place that way. And then now you've got this natural base for your wreath, and you tie in bunches of greens all the way around that, and it's that simple. You can use evergreens, you can use some non-evergreens. I saw just yesterday some deciduous holly. It's Ilex verticillata, which holds its berries but drops its leaves. So the leaves are not, have no points on them. They're not glossy and green like evergreen, like holly leaves usually are. It has sort of ordinary green leaves and loses them in the fall, and that allows you to see the berries much more easily. And they've been breeding these a lot to get more berries, bigger berries. And this one I saw yesterday, just an insane number of berries, just covered the branches in bright red berries. And most of the leaves had fallen off. So really, really showy, and something you should consider adding to your yard at some point. Again, kind of just an ordinary green shrub most of the year. And then when the leaves fall, you can really see the berries. That would make a nice combination with some evergreens. You make your own wreath, and this is kind of fun. I've used, of course, holly. I've used ivy. You can make a pretty cool wreath with ivy, and of course, ivy is a vine, so you don't even really need the bamboo. You could just do this completely out of ivy if you have a lot of it. It's hard to use the ivy that's crawling on the ground because it's rooting itself as it grows. So I've used ivy that we have kind of draped over a fence, and that's cleaner and doesn't have the roots. So that's the one caveat of using ivy. You really have to have, even if it's climbing a tree, the roots are going into the bark, and when you pull it off, you could damage the bark, which I would do it gently, and that's why you don't want ivy growing up a tree. But sometimes it also hangs off, and those might be ideal to cut. And if you only have a few, you could use a grapevine as a sort of the shell for the wreath, or you could just make a wreath out of ivy, kind of constantly winding it around itself. The leaves will dry, but they'll stay pretty green even when they're dry. If you have comments, questions, you can email me, michael@saverlife.com. We'll be back with the food show, and have a wonderful weekend, some great weather to get outside and just spend some time in the garden. If not planting some spring bulbs or garlic, then maybe pruning a little here or there, bringing some decorations inside from your garden, or just seeing what's out there and exploring some of the parks and things around our area. Enjoy the weather. Be back with the food show here at SaverLife.com.